Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 41, episode 1 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist.
Wait, 41?
Did I say 41? Whatever.
All right. Anyway,
what's
up?
Gives a shit. It's a special episode. What's going on? This is the Morning Zoo edition of the Daily Zeitgeist. My name is Jack O'Brien, and we didn't prepare AKAs.
I did, AKA.
Fucking labored.
What? Labor what?
Labor gray?
Yeah, labor gray. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still wearing white. I'll wear white tomorrow. I'll wear off-white the next day.
Yeah. He doesn't care, you guys. He'll do it, too.
Although, you know, I really fuck with the labor movement. So, you know what? Maybe I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah.
What am I going to do, you know?
I feel like that doesn't get recognized that much.
That I fuck with the labor movement?
Yeah. People need to recognize that more about you.
Yeah, you know, honestly, like, I used to kick it a lot with people in IBEW.
No, but the leftist politics of this holiday, I feel like people...
Oh, yeah.
People don't talk about socialism.
That is very true, actually.
Unions that much on Labor Day.
And you got a union-busting lover in possibly Brett Kavanaugh. Coming true this week. But anyway, let's get to brass tacks. Guys.
Let's get down to it, Miles.
I mean y'all. We're not saying guys anymore. Y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, man. That's
so
pretty cool.
If you guys don't know, there is a subreddit that's called the Daily Zeitgeist, or the Daily Zeitgeist. And we hit up the homie user bombing of Dresden and said, hey, would you mind asking the Reddit Zeit gang some questions they want to answer? Because I think if you've listened to this show enough, you know that when it's a tree-day weekend, there's probably going to be an Ask Us Anything type thing, or we do overrunners and things like that. So today is no different, and these questions are coming from the Zeit Gang on the subreddit. And yes, thank you everyone for your questions, and I think let's just get right into
it. I would say thank some of you for your questions. Some of your questions were offensive to me.
Well, you know.
No, they were great.
A lot of people asking if you were hurt.
Truly, yeah. People think I'm very upset.
They're like, what's with all the energy?
Yeah,
someone
what's
say
with
your
all
monotone?
The monotone? Yeah. Somebody just commented on Twitter on my picture because my eyes are always like almost closed because it's bright out. Someone was like, what's wrong, bro? Get some sleep.
Yeah, well.
You guys are hard on me. And that's what this episode's going to be about. Be nicer to me. I thought there were some really good questions, Miles.
Very good questions.
Can I start us off?
Yes, sir.
Both. Are there any conspiracy theories you believe or think have some credibility?
Off top. Come on, Jack. Bring it.
Nah, man. You tell me yours. I always talk about my conspiracy
theories. Well, look,
theories.
Man. I just saw Loose Change, and I got a couple questions about 9/11. I'm going to be real. Let's see. Okay, Nick.
Wow.
Music. Wow. Blew my head off. Any conspiracy
theories? That song
theories?
Gets a little peppy there after a while.
Yeah, well,
we usually cut it off.
Well, because it's not real conspiracy. It's just like it's meant to undermine what you're saying by being jokey.
Oh, thanks, Miles.
Yeah, that's how I think it's operating. I don't know.
Uh-huh.
That's why other people are like, why isn't just the X-Files music? Which is another question on here. That's too on the nose.
And it is not undermining the seriousness of what I'm saying.
What is a thing? I mean, Jesus.
We've talked about it. My pet conspiracy theory is the
JFK one.
JFK one. The government also probably killed Martin Luther King Jr. The whole thing with the people down in Cuba, the diplomats down in Cuba.
Oh, wait, but you don't think
that's a mass panic.
Yeah, not a sonic ray gun.
Yeah, not a sonic ray gun. So it's the opposite of a conspiracy.
My question is, what did happen with Building 7 at the World Trade Center?
I don't know.
Why'd that one fall down?
I don't know, man.
What's the official word? I'm not here to be like, well, that's a control room.
I just think that there's a lot of weird shit happens when you knock two giant towers down and like, you know, some things that are going to look weird happen.
All right. All right, Ken Starr.
Yeah. And
I'll
I just wish
that.
You'd stop asking this question.
Also, conspiracy, this is not really a good one for me because the only ones I believe in are the ones my grandparents are really into. And that's like the Jay-Z and Beyonce and the Illuminati.
Right.
That's one. I had to talk my grandparents, these elderly African American people, they get in these groups with older church going people, and they're like, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z, they're in the Illuminati and they worship the devil. And I had to.
Do those two go together?
I don't. I guess. I mean, it depends on what circles you run in. Oh, I have one.
Oh.
This one is from Zugador 666. I'm in my 40s and listen to your show daily. I love the show, but often find myself scratching my head with how phrases change over time. When did these following changes occur? Quote, I haven't seen you in about a minute. A minute is now how long? I don't know, in a minute. I would say that changed about 20 years ago. You could say, oh man, it's been a minute.
So why are they scratching their head? Do they have like an itchy head or something?
Hey, I don't know. I'm not here to, you know, speculate on this person's scalpular health. Scalpel.
Not familiar with that phrase.
What about this one, Jack? I fuck with that.
Oh.
Start playing bingo, y'all. I fuck with that. When did fuck with go from being bothered by something / somebody to mean being into something? This is just African-American speak slowly shifting into just general.
Well, I, for one, do not like it.
Okay, old man.
Not a fan.
That's us helping an old listener out.
Any other questions they have about Miles?
I have one that's at you, at Jack. This is from RRNark.
RRNark.
At Jack, I'm a big fan of your time hosting the Cracked Podcast. With Monday's episodes becoming Big Ideas show, are you looking to emulate some of that Cracked Podcast format? If so, when can you get Jason Pargin to phone in and drop some knowledge?
Big Ideas show. Yeah, we'll try and do that. We need to do that. I need to.
Where does Jason Pargin live?
He lives in.
He doesn't live in LA, right?
No, he lives in Tennessee.
Oh, so he'll definitely have to phone in.
Yeah, and he lives in an undisclosed location.
Cool.
Yeah, he's usually flying above the earth. Really? I actually have not talked to Jason in a long time, and I need to do that. So I miss him.
You guys are hearing this live on cut. You just brought two people together.
So I have it on my to-do list that I need to reach out to that.
Okay.
Miles, what's something that's... we're not going to answer all of these because Wavy Jones got a little... greedy, but I'm gonna let's answer
a lot of questions. Rapid fires.
Let's answer one of these. What's something that's overrated, underrated, a myth, or a recent Google search that says something about you?
Oh shit! Recent, overrated, underrated.
I can do my myth.
Yeah, do
because it keeps coming up over the past couple weeks. Something that keeps coming up is that Nate Silver said Hillary was a shoo-in to win. I think there are a couple things at work there. I think most people. And outlets were embarrassingly wrong in their prognostication before the election. And I think like the New York Times and the Washington Post were saying 99%. And Nate Silver is just our most famous prognosticator. So everybody remembers him as being the guy who was like saying it was 99%. And also I think we're just bad at probability because he basically said it was 1 in 4 chance that Trump would win towards the end.
Mm.
He noticed that the polls after the Comey thing swung things in Trump's direction and, you know, was talking about it being a very real possibility up until the end. But because Nate Silver is the face of election predictions and because almost everybody got it incredibly wrong and he got it sort of wrong. I think people just associate him with being wrong. And, you know, he's still pretty smart and his website is very smart. And I think they do a good job of working with data.
Mm-hmm.
So that is my myth.
Yes. What is my something that I consider over or under? I would like to say that Hint Water is underrated.
You're just looking at things on the table.
But I believe this.
Uh-huh. Salad is underrated.
I also believe headphone is overrated. And Lysol scrubbing bathroom wipes are a myth.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No, one thing that I think is actually... I think the myth is that... You know, I think the game of politics, I think, is starting to look more and more like a myth, right? That there are sides advocating for two different things. When, just like we were talking about last week about how, you know, at these gatherings of the wealthy and powerful, they're talking about, like, things that appear to be fundamental changes to our society that still keep the system in place. Or, like, you know, that Democrats that are playing fair or unfair. It's that there's not even a game. Shit is just straight up manipulation of our democracy. And some people do it blatantly. Other people try and do it with some kind of appearance that it's being done for a good reason. Basically what I'm calling for is for us to just see through that and understand. I think all of this leads to the idea that we are all trying to point fingers at different sides when we shouldn't be pointing left or right. We should be pointing up.
Up.
Look up
at the sky.
Right.
God, where's your God now?
No, but yeah, I think Miles that's, yeah, that's, no, I mean,
where is your God?
As you look at, we always say this all the time, talk about late stage capitalism on the show. I mean, the GOP has masterfully, and the Democrats to a certain extent, has done a good job of keeping the attention away from us, actually looking at the people who are making the most money right now and keeping that wealth away from everyone else.
Yeah, for sure. It's a little conflicting because, like, a lot of the Trump hate that comes from the mainstream media and mainstream political elite, I feel like, is because he's not, like, one of those core people, you know?
Yeah.
And so sometimes I'm like, yeah, you hate him, but maybe for the wrong reasons.
Right. Well, and I think a lot of people, they see the way politics are played as this structured game, like you do this and you get this and blah, blah, blah. And Donald Trump just kind of saw power and was just like, OK, I'm just going to break through all these normal things and just try and work that in whatever way possible.
Right. All his outsider shit turned out to be just rhetoric. But I mean, he was onto something with all that drain the swamp stuff. He just turned out tried to drain it by drinking it.
Uh-huh.
Hey, at Miles, if we smoke together, what kind of snacks would you bring?
Ooh. First of all, I'm not bringing the fucking snacks.
Wow.
You better have the snacks.
You don't know me.
You don't fucking know
me. JayFenton9817.
Hey, Jay Fenton. You know, what snacks am I bringing? Oh, you know what? I would bring a lot of Japanese chips and Japanese snack food because my fucking Lord.
Wow.
The chips that we have in Japan, like Carl, is like, it's just a chip called Carl, and it looks like it has a weird farmer with a beard on it. It's like Cheetos Puffs, but like from another dimension with better flavors. I would bring another Japanese snack called Ototo, which is like, ooh, a cracker that tastes very delicious. And I would bring a lot of Japanese drinks too. Mostly this one peach drink that I like called Momo no Tennensui, which is it's a clear liquid that just tastes like straight up peaches and sugar. And so, yes, that's what I would be doing. That's what I would bring to the Zeitgang Smokeout.
All right.
Brought to you by that. This one is from Fushiznik. Your ads are hilarious. How much is scripted versus improv?
Well,
it's like 50-50.
Yeah, we're given a script. And then, so I usually stick to that. And then Miles is funny. And
I just react. And a lot of the times when Jack goes, hey, Miles, I am actually caught off guard.
Yeah, and
don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, and that's then, usually he just comes up with something as I say, "Hey, Miles, we haven't really."
Sometimes we've planned stuff.
Yeah,
I think when sometimes, look, we're not gonna lie, and don't let the advertisers hear this.
Everything is written out.
Everything is written out.
Pre-scripted, including everything we're saying right now.
Right now, sometimes we have copy that we have to read, and we just go, you know what? How do we make this? I think we just have to do like, how do we laugh by the end of it while we read it? And that's our North Star.
Yes. Yeah. And super producer Nick Stumpf is always in the booth giving us direction. And sometimes we think what we said is funny. And he's like, yeah, maybe give
maybe
me another
try
one. Yeah. All right. Let's keep that as an option, as the director said to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh.
Let's keep that as an option.
We'll keep that as an option.
Hey, Miles.
Speaking of ads.
Yeah.
Should we take a break?
Oh, yeah, I guess we're good. You know, is that high-pitched enough? Yeah, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back after that. And we're back.
How'd you like that ad?
Man.
I hope that was one of ours.
It's amazing that we got away with that product placement of putting an ad right in the episode.
Yeah.
Talking about ads. They paid us so much extra for that. Miles, what was it like to be Blasian growing up or when you visited Japan?
Oh, wow. Growing up Blasian in Japan. Well, you know, I grew up either being with one of my parents and someone thinking I wasn't their child a lot. Especially
with
my mom. Yeah, because my mom is Japanese and she walks around with this little curly-haired brown boy.
Mm-hmm.
And as a teenager, people would, like, when we'd go on an airplane, they would say, like, check in for a flight to go to Japan or something. They'd say, would you like to sit next to your friend? And she'd be like, this is my son. And in Japan, I remember, you know, I would be self-conscious because, like, when I was a kid, a lot of people would stare at me. And I thought, oh, man, like, what, you know, like, am I a weirdo or whatever? Mom always be like, they're just looking at you because they've never seen a boy so handsome. And I was like, thank you. And then now I've become this egomaniac that cannot be stopped.
It's really a problem.
Growing up in Japan, like being Blasian in Japan is kind of cool because on one hand, it's an island culture, so I never quite fit in. I think being biracial, inevitably that happens. You're never quite Japanese enough to be Japanese. You're never quite black enough to be black. You're never quite American enough to be whatever. But in Japan, I really enjoyed it just because there would be times people would talk shit and I would just clap back in Japanese and they would be so apologetic.
Oh, because they assumed you didn't
speak
Japanese.
They'd be mortified. Right. They would say like, you know, I remember when I was 14, one time I went to this video game store and this dude followed me around the store the whole time because he thought I was shoplifting. And I turned around and just in Japanese, I was like, can I help you? And he was so shocked. He was like, no, I'm so sorry. No. But I think culturally, I feel very much American, like African American and Japanese. And yeah, it's a unique experience because you kind of, you feel many things at once. But growing up in Japan or being there when I wasn't in school was always fun. My whole family's over there still. So it wasn't too bad. I mean, but yeah, you'll always be othered in a country like that because it's very homogenous. But I was able to navigate that all right.
Cool.
Definitely worth visiting, though. If you're thinking about going to Japan, please go out there. I have a question.
Let's hear this
can be for both of us. This is from Bombing of Dresden. What is your favorite Southern cuisine?
Ooh. Favorite Southern cuisine. Now, what is officially Southern? Like, is fried chicken Southern cuisine?
I think that's very American. I think that originated in the South mostly, so yeah. I think you can put that in there. I definitely would.
Yeah. Probably go.
It's not a California or New York dish. You
know? Right, right. I'd probably go fried chicken with baked beans. I love mixing chicken and baked beans.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, baked beans are good. I like anything with okra.
Mm.
And I love a good biscuit, collard greens. You have to make your collard greens with ham. Like, you got to have that ham hock in there. And otherwise, I mean, I'm a wing person. I don't know I've talked about wings a lot on the show or even on my Instagram, but I only eat all flat lemon pepper wings from Wingstop. That's my like quick.
You converted me too.
In a bite. Yo, I'm telling you, and I know that's an Atlanta thing.
Flats are much better.
So I'm riding with that too because it's the only way to go. And if you eat wings, try going all flats because I'm telling you, the meat on the flat is more succulent, delicious, juicy. And once you figure out the hack to eating it where you take the little cartilage off the ends and you slide out that little bone, everything else just comes right off. And it's not like when I see people eat in between the two bones, I'm like,
what are you doing?
Respect the bone.
Yeah. I didn't ever like clean the bone growing up. Ah. And then I married my wife and she completely clean.
Yeah.
Like it looks like you just dug it up out of the ground.
See, that's white people don't rake the bone, exactly. As my grandfather
and
would say to me.
It's the best part, the chewy cartilage shit.
I was always told, rake that bone. You better rake that bone.
Rake it.
Yeah, because you got to get that shit clean. And also ribs, like, oh my goodness. I love ribs too. I think Southern cuisine is probably the best American food you can have.
Yeah.
To be honest, I don't know much else. I mean, there's other things that Americans have kind of done their spin on from other places, but my goodness, Southern cuisine is the way to go.
And by the way, Bombing of Dresden, I have not had Bojangles fried chicken or Bo Rounds.
Oh.
So, my bad.
What's Bo Rounds?
I don't know.
Like Boo Earns?
Yeah, I think they were saying Boo Earns. That's actually a question. Somebody asked how we stay sane and happy.
And
a lot of Simpsons quotes, a lot of YouTube clips, Spock.
Oh yeah, guys, we'll link off to that video. There's one video we really like in this office of, it's like coverage of an electronic music festival in like Rotterdam or something in Holland. And the host is speaking Dutch. And then this man comes out like, and they're touring like the men's bathroom area of this music festival. And in Holland, the urinals look different than in the U.S. They're like these like stainless steel things. And like usually when you're at a music festival, you're not used to seeing like outdoor urinals.
Right.
Like in a men's room for like that, just because that's how I guess homophobic men are in the U.S. Like, I have to be in my own thing. Yes. Although at a baseball game, they have huge urinals.
Just troughs. Big troughs.
Anyway, so in this video, they're in this bathroom section, and this American guy who looks like he is like a farmer from the Midwest somehow
just like
is
wandered in.
Yeah, at this electronic like music festival.
Yeah, out of like a methadone clinic for farmers.
Yeah, he's in a porta potty, comes out, looks at this urinal, and he sees the crew, I think, gets nervous and starts just washing his hands in the urinal and uses the urinal cake as soap, and then they just start laughing. And as I say it out loud, it's not that funny, but they're just, yeah, the guy's like, oh no, that wasn't the toilet, was it? And they're like, yeah, I think so. And they go back, and the host just starts speaking Dutch, but there's this one moment where it's just Dutch, and it's like, something, for the record, is pissbuck? And the guys are like, yeah, it's pissbuck. So that's, I mean, I think really with doing a show like this, we try not to look at every given news story, or at least personally, I don't look at everything as being settled, as this is the future and everything is permanent.
Yeah.
I think if there's one thing I've learned in my lifetime is that nothing is actually permanent. And so I can use that to give myself a little bit of optimism, at least like, especially through doing the show, that like we're communicating to people, and the people who listen to the shows, like there's a community of people who are willing to make sacrifices to better this world, this country. So I try and look at it like that and say nothing is truly ever permanent. And yeah, I believe in the people's capacity to change things.
And I think I get more anxious, like if I'm not paying attention to something, if I know there's like a problem that affects me and I just like let it linger without dealing with it mentally, like that I get more and more anxious. So
right,
like actually, you know, at least working through it mentally and talking through it with you and our guests actually helps me at least, you know, address it and feel like I'm working through it, that I actually understand what's going on, as opposed to, yeah, that there's just this looming problem out there.
Because I know sometimes people are always like, I can't even look at the news anymore.
Right.
And I don't think that's the best remedy to it, because you're inevitably going to be in for a shock the next time you look at the news.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, when you're, I guess when every day we're slapping our foreheads being like, what the fuck?
Oh, God.
Yeah. And just like groaning, yeah, it's easier than like even when you're gone for a few days and you look back and you're like, wait, 900 things happened that could have done that. Just know that there are many good people out there trying to do good. And a lot of the times the news focuses on the worst, because that also helps perpetuate a sort of an atmosphere of fear. But I think there's a good way to work through everything is just to kind of talk about it and think of how you can contribute to, you know, some form of positivity in regards to anything that's making you feel bad.
How often do you guys shave from?
Oh, shit. I saw that one, too.
What?
Yo, how often do I shave? I fucking don't really shave ever, because my facial hair looks like shit. It grows in patchy. I look like a Southeast Asian pirate, and I don't know what else to do about it. So when I let it go, you know what happened, right? I remember in college, I was really self-conscious because I had like weird ass facial hair, and I would like shave it all the time. And then one woman was like, "Nah, I think it's cool. Like if when I see you, I'm like, ooh, what's going on with his facial hair? I want to know more about him." And that like empowered me to just not give a fuck about my facial hair, while other people were like, "What's going on with your facial hair?"
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really have a set schedule with my shaving.
There's a comedian who has a joke about how like, if you want to see a guy wear the same shirt like every day for a week, just compliment it, like compliment his
right,
shirt.
Right, right, right.
Because like he'll just be like, oh, this? No big deal. But then like, you know.
Yeah, it's true. What a little bit of.
Because we're hopeless.
Yeah. And again, I don't know. I'm not here to win any modeling contests or anything. And it's L.A. You know, L.A. also has a vibe where I've noticed other cities, people look really good. Like New York.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people too who look clean and got it. Like they're just, they have a look to them.
Yeah.
Like California's vibe is more like, whatever, you know, in a way, like that's sort of the general vibe of,
yeah,
of California. And so that's, I have a whatever
it
attitude
depends
towards my facial hair.
It depends. Cause like on Saturdays I take my son to soccer and all the other dads have like real jobs. And uh-huh, so they're all like clean shaved and look like they showered. And yeah, I like show up looking like, you know, I shave probably once or twice a week, and it's just very clear that like, is he unemployed?
Yeah. They're like, so, and they talk to your son. Is like, is that your dad? Yeah. Are you okay to go home with him?
So I usually shave for my son's soccer practice. And
oh shit, really? Because you want to be like,
put on a suit and tie,
fucking briefcase. Oh my god!
Oh hello, gentlemen. Yeah. Just coming from work.
You just print up a bunch of like quarterly earnings reports, and like they blow out of the suit. Oh goodness. I'm so sorry about this. You work for AIG? No, I used to.
Somebody asked, Jack, what do you do apart from the podcast? Who are you, my parents?
Yeah.
People I meet at party? We do lots of stuff. We develop the other shows on the podcast network.
Chime in, you know, put out fires. We do all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. Here is one that's a little bit, this is a more life oriented question. This is from Lonnie XCII. What do you guys feel like your proudest accomplishments in life are so far?
Oh man, mine's gonna be so lame.
Ask me that at the end of my life, cause I haven't done shit.
Wow.
I don't know. Oh yo, I scored a sick fucking scorpion kick goal in FIFA yesterday.
Okay.
That was I should have saved the fucking replay. That was really dope. Honestly, proud accomplishment. This is gonna sound cheesy. Is this show.
Wow.
I'm very, very proud of this show. I'm very proud of it. And I'm very proud of the love we get and the kind of people that listen to the show. Like, it's not a thing where I'm like, oh, yo, we got some whack fucking fans. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure other things have that, but I think probably because our politics are so clear, it's only going to resonate with kind of specific people.
Yeah, but we get some feedback from people who are like, hey, I'm a lifelong conservative and you're wrong about this thing, but still love the show.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. No, and I think that's the thing too, is I think even if you're a reasonable conservative, like, you know, we go hard in on like right wing politics that are just basically just mostly racism, xenophobia, homophobia. They hate shit. Hate policy is one thing, and lack of common sense. But yeah, I think for like doing this show, I always tell people it's like the perfect intersection of all of my past experiences.
Yeah.
And being able to do it is, I feel it's an accomplishment.
Yeah. And I mean, having experience creating content on the internet, like the fact that our fans are really nice to our guests, like
right.
that's so just rewarding.
Yeah.
Because like I've worked places where, you know, you bring a writer in to do a guest column and people, they're just like, holy shit, what the fuck is wrong with people?
Right.
And like, that's just, you know, that's a reflection on the, you know, the site or the product that you're putting out there is the people who consume it. So
yeah,
the fact that we've created a community that's as cool as you guys is really dope.
Yeah, I hope to meet all of you one day as much as I can. That would be wonderful.
Yeah.
All of them. Everybody.
Somebody asked about live shows and like what would a live show look like. And we're trying to figure that out right now.
We have some.
There will be something.
We have something coming up.
Yeah, we have something coming up. It probably won't just be a live version of what we do on the show. It'll probably be something more special and that you can only get at the live show is the plan. Kind of doing that. Last Podcast on the Left, I guess, does that where it's just it's not just them doing a live episode of the podcast. It's more of an event.
Yeah, because I feel like at the same time you hear the show all the time, so to just go and see us sit down in a semicircle and look at each other and talk about shit would be different than if, you know, we go out there with the hacker Jamie Loftus and start just hacking people's phones and doing all kinds of weird stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of dancing,
a lot of foot measuring,
a lot of dancing.
You and if you guys come to the show, you will see all of our feet.
Best and worst fast food French fries. Best for me, McDonald's. Worst for me is Burger King.
That's OM God, something like that. I was gonna say that. Definitely McDonald's fries. No matter where you go in the world, they're consistent.
I think McDonald's fries are one of the best things we've accomplished as a people.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I think worst is Burger King because they're doing like the shitty version of Jack in the Box fries.
What are they doing?
Ugh. It's got that other weird crunch on the outside. It's not, I'm really not here
for
it.
It's a mess, Burger King.
What's another good French fry that I like, though, too? You know, also, like, I like Raising Cane's. The chicken finger spot.
Oh,
I like their crinkle cut fries too.
Okay,
those are fine. They're not. They're nothing special. It could just be because I love the chicken fingers, but you know, Raising Cane's. I always have a good time eating that fried mess.
What are some good books y'all have read recently? This is from Sexy Massage Hands. Great, great Reddit, great Reddit name.
Sexy Massage Hands.
And they said, I read Incognito by David Eagleman, and it was fantastic. Yes, that is my favorite book to recommend to people, because I don't hear it recommended that many places, and that is a hell of a read. Changes the way you think about stuff.
Some books that are good. God, there's so many. I remember Confessions of an Economic Hitman.
Yeah.
Is a great book by John Perkins, just to kind of get an idea of the other ways the American government used its influence during the Cold War, not using guns, but using debt. I'm currently reading this book called America, The Farewell Tour by Chris Hedges, which has a lot to do with sort of the decline of the American empire. And kind of looking at that through the lens of just sort of social critiques and history. And a spiritual book, The Book by Alan Watts,
ooh,
was something my dad gave me when I graduated high school that really kind of got me to think a little bit more about my own existence a bit.
Sex at Dawn is a book I read for an old Cracked podcast by Christopher Ryan and Casilda Jetha that is really good. 10th of December, Stories by George Saunders. Really good short stories. Love that dude. Dark Money by Jane Mayer is really good. The Evolution of Beauty, which I've talked about before on the podcast, by Richard Prum. Oh, people ask a lot about Lost Connections because I talked about it before by Johan Hari. And it's pretty solid, but it has some really interesting information in it about just the mental health kind of infrastructure that we have in this country.
Yeah.
Our Towns by James Fallows and Deborah Fallows is kind of a hopeful look at America, which is in short supply. And yeah, I'm reading Winner's Take All right now. And The Goldfinch, a novel, is the novel that everybody's heard of. And I don't need to. Oh, Heroes of the Frontier by Dave Eggers is another novel that is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Novels, just shout
those out.
It's so
funny. I don't read novels.
I just started with that Eggers book.
I just have this weird thing. I love nonfiction.
Yeah.
You're
not weird.
No, it's just weird. Like, I don't know. Like, I wish I at times could be more into like literature and things like that. And I read those kinds of books too, but I don't nearly get the same just like satisfaction. Just like filling my head with information.
Or as Howard Kramer calls them, make-em-ups.
Yeah, you know, make-em-ups.
You know, make-em-ups.
Oh, here's a good one from Mr. Jeff Ray. If you had all the time in the world to do any hobby, what would it be?
Ooh, I don't know. You have
mine? Oh, I would love to coach a football soccer team.
Oh.
I used to coach youth soccer, and that was like some of the most fun I've ever had. There's something about coaching that's really fun, about like organizing a team and having a vision tactically and seeing them do that and then trying to figure out how to get the most out of players. I coached like U12 and like U11, U10 girls, like my friend's little sister's team. And we just had a bunch of free time. And they're like, you want to coach my sister's team? And we did. And we were so good at it. But like, I think one of the things I didn't realize that was really fun was about like instilling sort of self-belief and confidence in the players.
Yeah.
And realizing that that can do so much for like just someone's well-being even off the field, that there was something about that. You know, I'm a nurturer.
Yeah, so, no, you are. And, you know, that's actually a good answer, because I used to be that dude before I had kids who was like, fucking kids, your kids are annoying to me.
Right.
Don't show me their pictures. But now, like, you know, being around my kids, obviously they're the best. They're really smart, actually. Ramsey's doing this. No. Just being around even other people's kids, like, it's a lot of fun to hang out with kids and just like interact with them and, you know.
So your hobby would be hang around kids all day?
well, somebody else asked what we do for a living, and like, I think teaching would be pretty dope.
Yeah, I've always had that in my back pocket. I studied history in college, just because I knew I was never going to have a job that required a degree in a specific field. So I always had, I was a European history major just so I could, like, my one of my favorite teachers was my AP American history teacher. And I was like, damn, that was a dope class because he didn't pull punches and like was really about having us understand history. And that was, yeah, if I had to do a job, if obviously I couldn't be the next Arsene Wenger 2.0, I would be the next Mr. Woolery 2.0.
Or coaching like youth basketball or something like that.
Yeah.
Transient was the one who asked if we didn't work on the pod, what would be our ideal jobs? He also asked, also, who you guys got for the NBA Finals this year?
Golden State and
Celtics.
Yeah, maybe it's gonna be another Golden State.
It's not
State.
Who I want to but
in a fantasy world, no, I'm
Lakers,
not, even,
Sixers, baby.
In a fantasy
early
world,
80s
yeah.
Reboot.
In a fantasy world, it would be Lakers, Sixers, and this
Ooh,
would
be
a house
good
divided.
That would be good for the pod.
Oh yeah, Sophie would lose her head.
Yes.
Sophie, do you think we're going to go to the
finals? Super producer Sophie Lichterman is in the house. Super producer Anna Hosnier is out.
On assignment.
But super producer Sophie Lichterman, that's an element that you guys don't get on the pod because she doesn't usually sit in on the show. But she is such a Kobe stan that it is overwhelming.
Kobe stan is not a country in the Middle East.
No, it's not. She is obsessed with Kobe. And it's a significant, it's the name of our Wi-Fi network. It's just...
Kobe stan.
Kobe stan.
Well, I'm sure if you listen to Culture Kings, they hear that a lot. Because,
well,
yes.
In case you don't. That is
and
always
if you don't, check in on that one.
In the air.
Oh, I like this one. This is from HBHO at both. Discussion. This is to bring up a discussion. How do you both think that meme culture has affected comedy? Positives? Negatives?
That's a good question. I think it's democratized it in a way that's good in some cases.
Yeah.
Like, I think more people are funnier, at
least
when it comes to writing and, like, expressing themselves.
Right.
Like, y'all are funny as fuck. Like, our fans are really funny, and Twitter is a hilarious place to be.
I think it would be interesting, though, to begin trying to cultivate people who are really great meme-type thinkers. There's a lot of like, you have to be very intelligent and analytical to do, like, a really good on-the-nose meme. And I think, I don't know, I'm sure those people are probably maybe trying to pursue traditional careers in comedy, but I feel like those people should definitely benefit from contributing to comedy in some way that isn't just getting a bunch of retweets. The downside to it is you can create all these memes and stuff and get, you know, people like, oh, my God, I know that meme or whatever, but there's no way for that to become a living. And that would be interesting to see how that can happen, for sure.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And super producer Sophie Lichterman said, this isn't on your little Reddit thread. And she waved dismissively, but then said, I want you guys to tell us what your favorite television shows are.
Someone did ask this. A_Hendo did ask,
yes,
what's favorite
Sophie?
Sitcom of all time?
Damn.
That's sitcom. Favorite sitcom of all time?
Simpsons Co?
Damn. That's not a sitcom. Like, if we're talking traditional multi-cam show, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is probably one of my favorites.
Seinfeld, even
oh,
though
yeah, Seinfeld
I hate
too.
Seinfeld so much.
I don't like Jerry Seinfeld. I love Kramer, the character.
Oh.
No, not Michael Richards.
I like his politics.
I love his politics. He's got, you know, he got some hot takes. Yeah, I think Seinfeld and Fresh Prince, although I don't watch Fresh Prince doesn't nearly have the kind of reruns it should be getting.
Yeah.
In terms of favorite TV shows, The Simpsons are one of my favorite shows ever. Beavis and Butthead is one of my favorite shows ever. King of the Hill, I even like to, despite it being pretty wacky and a little, you know, problematic at times. But it was the 90s, and we weren't quite onto everything. And like HBO shows, I'll say it, day in and day out, Sopranos, Deadwood, The Wire.
Yeah, it's like the question is almost like, what are your favorite TV shows that aren't the obvious ones, like The Wire, and because I love The Wire.
Anything, most Ricky Gervais.
I know most
things.
People like The Wire, but I really love
The Wire. I really
like
The Wire. And, you know, I would have voted Obama for a third term. so there's that. I would say the other thing.
I like Insecure a lot.
Insecure.
Although I haven't started the third season.
Atlanta. Yeah. And, yo, I watch so much shit reality, though, too. Like, Are You the One?
You do.
On MTV.
An impressive amount.
Yeah. Like, that's how I keep my finger on the pulse.
That just comes up in our with our guest and... You will just talk with a lot of knowledge.
Yeah. Well, 90 Day Fiance. I cannot talk about that fucking dumpster fire of a show enough.
The only thing on our wall is a giant note from season
two
of the Jersey Shore. Yep. And that is not a mistake.
That is all because
Miles' shared taste in pop culture with Sophie and Anna.
We needed it. This same person actually has another question that's kind of interesting. What is the most beautiful natural sight you've seen?
Wow. The birth of my child, man.
Oh, nah. Shit.
That shit is not natural.
Fucking loser.
No. Also, that's not natural because I was like in a bunny suit in the hospital. Most natural, beautiful.
I guess in terms of earth, not a human emotional moment.
I got one where I was out on a fishing boat at like the crack of dawn right off of Cape Cod, and there was like a school of bluefish like running down a wave that was like kind of keeping pace with the boat we were in. It was pretty dope.
Oh my god, you're crying. Wow.
It's just those fish looked at me, man.
It's just bluefish. Jaws 2.
It's just bluefish.
Jaws 2 reference for you.
It's fish.
Let's see. For me,
everybody knows Jaws 2.
Everyone knows Jaws 2.
Did I tell you that I missed Dr. J's like final like farewell game because Jaws 2 was on TV?
Wow.
My grandfather was coaching against Dr. J. Like the whole family was like going, like leaving the Jersey Shore to like go down to the game at Philly. And
you stayed behind to watch Jaws 2?
I played sick because Jaws 2 was on TV and I was obsessed with Jaws.
Oh my goodness.
That is the kind of kid I was. I was obsessed with.
I hope you heard
and
that.
Sharks.
I
hope you heard that, Dr. J.
Let's see. I would say one of the most beautiful natural sights I've seen was one time in Japan in the Japanese Alps. There was just a sunrise that I saw that was breathtaking. And also one of the other times, there's this place in Guatemala called Lago Atitlan, which is like this lake that, yeah, okay, well, wait till you go, sucker MC. It's surrounded by volcanoes, and I'm pretty sure the Mayans considered it to be like the center of the universe, and it is one of the most amazing places I've ever been to and set my eyes on.
I was just laughing at Titlan.
Oh, wow. That's worse.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's way worse. It's
terrible. Oh, what about this one? This is a hot one. This is from Unity Americas. Chapo or Pod Save America? Fight!
Yo, they're
not really comparable.
Definitely, yeah, they're definitely not comparable. There's definitely a feud there on the Chapo side. Like Chapo is just like, fuck these guys.
Yeah,
Chapo is for the real heads.
I would say I agree with the politics on Chapo more than Pod Save America.
Yeah,
Pod Save America for the insight, because these people do have functional knowledge of the executive branch, but. It's weird. I've realized, too, the more we do the show, the less I've been able to listen to politics podcasts.
Yeah.
Just because I'm not getting anything from it, but, like, I guess in that way, too, is a way to maintain my sanity, is I don't just intake political news 24/7.
The same shit that we talk about.
Yeah. That's why, like, you know, I got to get the Bodega Boys going. You know, I got to get sometimes Improv for Humans going.
Improv for Humans. Wow.
I just love, dude, the UCB. Oh, that's another thing. The UCB original show on Comedy Central was one of my favorite shows.
Oh, really?
Like when I was in junior high.
Oh, the original
the
one.
The UCB.
Ass
yes,
Pennies.
Yes. Ass Pennies.
Yes.
I mean, the Little Donnie Foundation.
Little Donnie
the
Foundation
Poo-stick,
is
the Poo-stick.
Unbelievable.
The Poo-stick is also one of them so stupid, where he's like, say I had the titular role in Star Wars. Guys, if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm sorry.
Upright Citizens Brigade, before it was a improv theater, was a show on Comedy Central.
Well, it was an improv theater, and that's how they got the show, though.
No,
right?
No. They named the improv theater
after
a show.
Got you.
No. They probably were theater before anything. But it's a their first season is has first and second, I think.
Oh, there's this is a funny stuff. One too. I heard, you know, on Culture Kings they do Would You Rather. And this was one that came up. This is one I think from that show. This is a Would You Rather, Jack. And I'm sorry if you guys have sensitive ears, please turn your ears away. But this Would You Rather is so absurd. Would you rather fuck a goat and nobody would ever
Oh shit.
Would you rather fuck a goat and nobody would ever know or not fuck a goat and have everyone believe you did? Now, I reject this.
I don't
this.
See what the downside of fucking a goat and nobody ever knowing is.
Oh, you right, really sorry. Love the really? You like playing around with that bestiality. I think it's abuse. And no, this is the reason. I reject this premise because this is really just a question of would you fuck a goat? It's not would you rather. It's you fuck a goat.
It's whether you value your reputation more than your experience.
Okay, well, I don't give a fuck about my reputation or fucking a goat. So I'm not fucking the goat and have everyone believe I did. And anything you guys hear anyway that comes out is bullshit. So just remember that. It's lies, but I know the truth is all I'm saying.
Right, right. Yeah, no, Miles, and he definitely wanted us to bring this one up in particular.
Yeah, if you don't,
almost as if like the whole reason for having this episode was to get around to this question.
No,
and Miles has definitely never fucked a goat, you guys. Right?
No,
is that good?
That's fine.
Okay,
but I know the truth. All I'm saying is I know the truth, and I don't care what everybody else knows. As Donald Trump, we know the truth, and also truth isn't truth. So, what are you gonna do now?
Yeah, exactly.
I think we're doing good.
Can you talk more about professional sports and players? Come on, man. Come on, Eric the Brown.
Eric the Brown, yeah. Who do you want to talk about?
That's a terrible question.
Well, I mean, I can.
I mean, we can. What do you want us to talk about?
I saw how all, like the questions underneath that were also like, I don't know anything about sports. They talk about sports just enough. And then the other ones were like, unless they're talking about soccer or football, like, I don't know what is going on. Yeah.
Yeah, we could, but we don't.
We
how about
could.
That?
It's not a sports podcast, but obviously sports does come into the zeitgeist and we cover it at that point. But I don't know if people would want to hear our sports talk all day.
Miles, indica or sativa?
Oh, all three. Indica, sativa, hybrids. Okay. It's all about moods. You know what I mean? If you're trying to do some thinking, I like to do a little sativa. And, you know, hybrids are good just when you're trying to get equal parts clear-headed and a little bit melty. And if you just want to fall asleep watching 90 Day Fiancé with half a fried chicken in your lap, go all the way indica.
Yeah, you ate half a fried chicken recently.
Yeah.
And
I love it.
If it's what you say it is.
If it's what you say it is, I love it, especially in the fall.
Uh-huh. Will Trump Free Thursdays ever return? Yes, once he leaves office.
Ooh, yeah. Trump Free Thursday.
Ooh, Shannon.
We might have to bring it back.
Yeah. Just for that drop.
Damn, Nick has been just waiting.
Oh, yeah, that was another one someone asked. What does Super Producer Nick Stumpf look like? Benny and Bazune said, yes, that he looked like Ray Romano.
And, a hipper Ray Romano.
Yeah, I mean, if Ray Romano was in a band and not a like a full-on old dad look, maybe.
Right.
But
right.
I think Nick has his, he's in his own lane.
A lot of the shady ones. Jack, are you contractually obligated to say that you worked at Cracked?
Yeah, you are.
I am. Mm-hmm. It's in my contract, and thanks for asking. Jack, how hard do you have to try to sound excited and pumped? Did someone tell you you're too monotonous at some point? Was it Miles? Did he hurt you?
Aw.
Cool.
I don't think... Did I hurt you? Oh, wait, don't do this on mic. Don't do this on mic, Jack.
No.
Hey, man, what the fuck did I say, man? Okay, I'm sorry about that. Guys, we'll edit that out. Don't edit that out.
Would you consider setting up cameras for the show and charging $5 a month for access to the feed? I'd absolutely subscribe from Tron_Parker, British Coal Gas Study. No.
Oh, were you reading his flare?
Yeah.
Or their flare?
What is the flare?
That's like the little thing that is next to the username.
Yeah, yeah.
So some people on the subreddit have British Coal Gas Study. Other people have like Lil Zam smoking big old doinks and Amish. There you go.
There it is. That might be the most beautiful natural thing that I've ever seen is
smoking doinks and Amish. Big old doinks and Amish. And then gang at the end.
Yeah.
Wait, what was the question? Or are you just reading the flare?
No, they were asking, would we consider setting up cameras the show and doing like,
man, we gotta buy cameras
and
then.
Liquid shows.
Okay. Mr. Cam Show
O'Brien.
They didn't
ask me that in particular, but I could tell that that's what they're implying.
Well, I think, you know, gosh, I don't know if people, if enough of you guys paid for it, shit.
Yeah.
Fucking, we can record every episode with a camera crew, but maybe one day.
Then they'd see me pre-shirt change.
Oh, oof. Yeah. And you would see that I fart a lot during the show.
Nick
has to cut
God.
It out. He had to put a special gate on my microphone that will keep the fart sounds out.
If you guys can pay for a wetsuit for me to wear during recording, then I'll do it.
Yeah, well, I think we've covered everything there.
I think we've covered everything.
Covered every single comment in here.
Yeah.
Not nearly,
I hope
but
you guys
some.
Are enjoying your Labor Day, that you are organizing with your local union, and yeah, back tomorrow with a normal episode of The Daily Zeitgeist.
What are you going to do right now for Labor Day? You want to hang out? Come on, dude. What, you got to wash your hair again?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Here's the thing.
What?
I've got these guys that I'm hanging out with tomorrow. They're the dads of Ramsey Soccer.
Damn
game.
It.
And they're... I need to go shopping for a pocket watch.
And a monocle. All right, y'all.
All right.
See you later.
Follow me at Jack_O'Brien. Follow Miles at Miles of Gray. Follow us at... The Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter and, you know,
all that other stuff.
At Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter.
They already know.
At Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. You guys. All
and
right.
Footnotes.
There you go.
Footnotes. Now you got a full episode.
Oh, yeah. Are we going to do footnotes for this episode? Nah. Sophie looked at me like, fuck you.
Oh, yeah. Nah. No, there will be one link to the Piss Buck video.
Oh, yeah. You guys
so
need
y'all
to watch
can know
the
about Piss Buck.
Video.
And then when we see y'all in person, you can be like, hey, for the record, is Piss Buck?
For the record.
For the record, it is Piss Buck.
Yes. All right. Bye.
Mag ik heel even wat vragen? Even voor de record. Is dit een pisbak?
Ja.